Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today. As you've probably gathered, we are collecting donations of toys. These will go to Wood Street Mission. And thank you also to the Rainbows who have donated some of them. If anybody would like to donate money, there is a collection basket at the back. But thank you for giving us such a wonderful collection of toys. Our minister, Stephen, is interested in starting an Advent study group, which will meet one evening. If anybody would like to join this, he hasn't decided on a specific evening yet, but if anybody is interested in joining such a study group, please can you see me afterwards? That sounds a bit like headmistress, doesn't it? But please could you see me afterwards, and I'll let him know. We've got a collection of baskets for collections at the front. So one is for Woodley Lane's Mission. There's also one for the survivors of Hurricane Melissa, if some of you would still like to give to that. You will have seen that the notice is going up to advertise Christmas Fest. We would like to have some volunteers, if possible, for that evening. There are a variety of roles, and there is a notice on the notice board saying what we need. But people to help set up during the evening and clear away afterwards. So we'd be very grateful for any help there. I believe the board games day, which was held yesterday, went very well, and that there were a fair number of newcomers who very much hope that they will come again. There are a few cakes left over at the back, which you're welcome to help yourself to, hopefully in return for a small donation. And we've also got some plum jam, which has been donated by Laura and Arnold's daughter. And again, there is a basket there if you wish to give anything, but she has put help yourself on the notice. So thank you very much. And now Sheila will lead us in our worship.
Welcome and good morning. It's a privilege to be here, and we're meeting as the family of the church with all ages, and we're going to be thinking together about how God prepares for Christmas. I believe it's 36 days. Don't panic. Christmas reminds us that God himself chose to draw close to us. Not into wealth or comfort, but into poverty, pain, and obscurity. He came into the world which was marked by grief and darkness, and I think we could say that our world has both those elements in it at the moment. But his presence changed everything. Now his light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. His presence is still at work today in the lives of ordinary people like you and me. So we come to worship to catch something of that light and to take it out with us in the days of the following week. There are a lot of people taking part today, and we're really pleased to have the young people, but also adults as well. And we're going to begin with the hymn 8, God is with us. And although the words may not be something we sing often, it is to the tune of Ode to Joy, and we stand to sing.
Oh,
So let's bring our prayers of approach. Let's come before God. God is with us, Emmanuel. We come together to worship you, God our Father. You are also our Creator, and you have shown infinite care in the way that you have fashioned the world as a place where all can live and flourish. Plant life, flowers, animals, birds, fish and insects. You sent the rain, the sun and the wind and give everything necessary for growth and flourishing. And you have made each one of us in your image and long for us to know you and to love you, to have fellowship with you. And so we've come together this morning to learn more of your purposes and your plans for our lives. And you are here with us now, drawing close to each person and abiding within us as we offer you room in our hearts. Your Spirit fills us with light and love. May we say each new day, come into my heart. There is room in my heart for you. Thank you for the opportunity today to share your love with others as we bring our toys to give away. We think of those who will receive them at Christmas and ask for your blessing to rest upon them, that they may know that someone cares. And now, loving God, we come as we are. We need your forgiveness, each one of us, for times when we have hurt others and disappointed ourselves by our lack of love. And so we offer you just who we are, what we can do, and our love for you. And in the quietness, we wait for the assurance of your love and your forgiveness. And we give thanks that you are a merciful God and there is nothing to fear. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. Amen. Right, now who is ready for Christmas? Or perhaps I should say, who is not ready for Christmas? I'm sure there are some people in the congregation who have bought presents, wrapped them up, written the cards, and are all ready. But it's certainly not this person standing here just yet. And part of the fun is to have a bit of a... Sorry. Here until it comes. How do we get ready for Christmas? Well, we organise food, we organise presents, we organise cards, perhaps not quite so many this year because, well, it's very expensive, isn't it? And perhaps giving them out at church is probably a good way around that. We organise our homes to entertain people sometimes and to offer hospitality. But we're not ready, but we've got 36 days, so that's really going to be very helpful. And I think that although the post is so bad, well, it is in Macclesfield, that probably you have it in Poynton, and there may have been some parcels delivered to the church. Is that right, Christy? Well, would you like to bring them up? I need some help, young people, so I hope you're going to come and help me.
Four parcels delivered for the church.
Right, four parcels delivered. What does it say on here? For the people of Poynton Methodist Church, four packages to be opened Sunday, November the 16th. Right. I'm so sorry about that. So, who's going to open them for me? Are you going to come and help me? I'm going to have to ask some adults if you don't come. I only want to open the first one And this is the first one because it's the biggest. Put that one to one side. So can you take off the black packaging?
This one.
Yep.
I've got to do the first one, apparently. Can you help me?
It's a good job Angela's here.
Yeah.
Our family worker. Don't take off the wrapping paper.
People.
Right, so it says...
People.
People, right, so let's think about that for a moment. So we... You see, the first thing God had to do was to make the world ready to receive him. Because people didn't know that he really existed. They could see what he'd made, but they didn't really think that he was around. They thought he was a bit of an absentee landlord. And so he said... I've created all this beauty. I've created all these people. And I want them to know that I love them. And I keep trying to tell them through what I've made, but they don't seem to get the message. So I need to think how to do this. And he decided that he would prepare a people, a group of people who would learn that God loved them so much that he would send to them a saviour, somebody who would come and live with them and be prepared to look after them. So thank you very much for that. You'll need to go back to the table because the first thing he did was to prepare the leaders. And we've got some leaders on the table there. So let's put that up here. He thought to himself, if I can find some people who will listen to me and then tell the people, that will be a great help. So the first leader he chose was Noah. And Noah was a very, very courageous man. He lived miles from the sea, and Jesus and God said to him, Noah, you're going to build a boat. What am I going to do that for? Said Noah. Well, you're going to build this boat because I'm getting fed up with the people who don't take any notice of me, and one day there's going to be an enormous flood. And so Noah started building, and his neighbours said, what are you doing that for? You're so silly. Who's told you to do that? God's told me to do that, he said. And he built this boat, and we all know the story, don't we, of how he saved animals and people in order that the world could go on ahead. The next leader that was chosen was Abraham. So can I have Abraham off the table, please? I think if you leave the colouring, you'll have lots of time to do it later. And you can... So let's have it along there. Now, Abraham lived in a place where there were people worshipping all kinds of gods. And God thought to himself, Abraham will never worship one God. He will never worship me if he's living amongst all these people. So I'm going to move him. And he said to Abraham, I'm your God and I'm going to make you the father of an enormous nation of people. But you must do as I say. And I want you to move and I want you to take your family and move a long way away. And so these people and their animals and all the family and their servants moved, and Abraham obeyed God. After Abraham came another person that God wanted. And God suggested to somebody called Joseph that he could be very special to God. Thank you. That's lovely. Now, Joseph was the youngest in his family, and his brothers hated him because he was a bit cocky. But God could still use cocky people, and he used Joseph. And the brothers took Joseph and sold him into Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he was put in prison. But while he was in prison, he found favor with the Pharaoh, and he rose up through the ranks and became the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And he looked after the country and saved them from famine. So God had a good leader in Joseph. But there was another leader too. And he was born a baby and he was saved. Can anyone guess who that was? His parents put him in the bulrushes to save him. And it was?
Moses.
Moses, right. Can you bring it up then, please?
I've got a feeling that after Moses it might be Joshua.
Right, you could be right. But we haven't got Joshua because we're going to go on, otherwise we shall be here until Christmas, because there's such a lot. Because this part of the Bible, this part of my Bible, all of that is the story that we're trying to tell. And so the next thing that God did was he sent the prophets. I'm going to put some of these up. There were lots of them. Let's listen to how disappointed God was that the people did not follow him. There are two little readings that we want now, okay? It's Isaiah 1, 1 to 3, and Hosea 14, 2 to 4.
Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth. For the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know my people, do not understand.
Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
Those of us who are parents, of course, know just what it's like to have children that don't do as we say, children that disappoint us. And I'm sure children have parents that disappoint them as well. But God was there desperately trying to get the people of Israel to listen to him and to prepare themselves to get ready. And so, as we say, he sent Moses. Moses was saved by being put in the bulrushes, and he was taken by the Pharaoh's daughter and grew up in the Pharaoh's household. And he was in a wonderful place then to actually have the voice and the ear of Pharaoh. And eventually, after many plagues and difficulties, he led the people out. And they wandered in the wilderness. And they complained because they said we were better off in Egypt. So they were never really satisfied, this group of people. And God had to think again. And so, as I say, he sent prophets to be amongst them. And all the books in the Old Testament, or many of them, are the words that the prophets spoke. And one day, Samuel the prophet was asked if he could ask God if the people could have kings to help them understand. Somebody that they could see and talk to who would be God's representative. And one of those, of course, was David, the shepherd king. And Samuel went to find the one that God was wanting, the one that God would choose. And he looked at all David's brothers who were tall and handsome and strong. And he said, no, it's none of those. Have you got another son? And he said, yes, my youngest son, David, is in the field looking after the sheep. He said, fetch him. And he brought him, and he was anointed to be the king. And God had looked upon David, and although he knew that he would eventually do some very bad things, he could still use him. And I think that's really important, because sometimes we think we're not good enough for God to use us. But God can take ordinary people and make them the people that he wants them to be. So we've got King David, King Solomon, and even King Cyrus, who was a foreign king, God was able to use to help him. Now, before we sing our next hymn, I'd like you to write on these figures that you've got. I hope everyone's got one. If you could just put your name, please, because we're going to collect them in as the hymn finishes. So just put your name. Has anybody not got a figure? If anyone hasn't got a pen, we've got lots of pens on the table. Just put your name, your first name, or both names, whichever you want to do. In a moment, we're going to sing the first two verses of a hymn which tells the story of what I've been saying about God preparing the people. And at the end of the service, we're going to complete the hymn because we shall have got to that point where God came to be amongst us, Emmanuel. So we're going to stand and sing 100 and... Oh, sorry, we've missed a hymn. That's
okay.
178, and we're just going to sing verses 1 and 2, and the words are on the board, along with a wonderful picture of what one of the Old Testament prophets may have looked like. Let's stand to sing. Long ago, pardon. Ring bells, ring, ring, ring. Sing Christ, sing, sing. When he comes, when he comes, who will make him welcome? God. God in time, God in man, this is God's kindness plan. He will come. Himself of woman, God's divinely human. Ring bells, ring, ring, ring. Sing Christ, sing, sing, sing. When he comes, when he comes, who will make him welcome?
Can you go around and collect them up now, please, from everybody?
If you'd like to hand your things in, the young people are coming to collect them. We're going to use them later in the service. Got the blue tape ready to put on. You're going to stick them by the hands. So God has prepared a people, and he knows that those people, there will always be a remnant which will be faithful to him and will wait for him to come and to keep the promise that he made, that he will send a saviour. So now he's got the people organised, he needs to find something else. And the thing he needs to find is another P. And as the children are busy organising the people, I'm going to open this myself. It was a silly idea to put them in these bags.
No, it's fine, thank you. I'm there. And the second P that God prepared, of course, was a place. If God, who is everywhere, was going to come and be somewhere, he had to be born and in a place. And we're going to listen now to Micah chapter 5 and verse 1. Well, verse 2, actually, isn't it? Sorry. This is a very famous reading, and you'll hear it again when you come to the carol service.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Thank you. You may begin to wonder, because it took God 4,000 years to prepare for his coming, why he was so slow. And perhaps in your lives, in your prayer lives, you sometimes wonder, why is God holding back? Why doesn't he come and do something? Sometimes we think of that as God's abandonment of his world. But really, God's slowness is God's thoroughness, that he gets it right, that when he does something, it is right and as he wants it. We're going to hear now how he chose someone to be this special person, and how this person heard God speaking, not by reading it from the Bible, but by hearing the story sung. Sorry, just hang on. But before we do that, I want to tell you just a little bit more about this place. This place, which is Bethlehem. I've been to Bethlehem. I've been several times. I've been to the place where Jesus was purported to have been born, and it was a very wonderful experience. But why Bethlehem? The scriptures say that it wasn't a particularly fantastic place. It wasn't the capital city. In actual fact, it was a small town in a foreign place, in a foreign country. And yet God thought that this was right. But when we read the Old Testament, the name of Bethlehem comes up so many times. When Samuel went and found the king, David, he found him in Bethlehem. When Rachel died, and she lived a long while ago over in this area, she was buried in Bethlehem. Its name is House of Bread, which is a lovely thing when you think that Jesus came to be the bread of life. And that Greek word, which I can't pronounce, perhaps scholars can, Ephrathah, I think it's something like that, means fruitfulness. And Jesus came to say, you are to be my disciples and to bear much fruit. So it was a very special place. And the people who lived then would know that, and they would know that Bethlehem was special. And this place was the place where Joseph, the Joseph of Mary and Joseph, where his family came from. And so it was natural that this birth was going to take place in this place. So we're going to sing about the town of Bethlehem, and we're going to sing three verses, not all of them. You'll be singing those at Christmas. Let's do that now.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
we prepare a place for Jesus, a place in our homes that he can be welcome, and that people who come into our home will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, because Christmas will be perhaps a crib or some cards that have that beautiful picture that we saw there. And so now we're going to hear a reading.
People walking in darkness soon grow light. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this.
I've heard that read so many times that I think it's very moving when a young child reads the story from the Old Testament. And I hope when you hear it again, you'll remember that. So we have a people prepared. We have a place in which the child will be born. And now we're going to think about one more P. I wonder if you can think what that is. I'm sure you can. And what is it?
Person.
A person, a very special person whom God chose. Of all the young girls in Nazareth or elsewhere, God saw that Mary was the one. And so he sent an angel to visit her, and we're going to hear now how he came.
Most highly favored.
Mary said yes to God. Sometimes it's really hard to say yes to God, the things he asks us to do. Mary's situation, of course, was unique. But every day of our lives, he asks us to do something, to be more patient, to forgive a particular person, to forget something that's happened in the past, to give, which means that we must do without. I think it's important that the church says yes to God in so many ways. And I know this church in so many ways says yes to God, looking after the environment, caring for people outside the church fellowship, making sure that people know and telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Mary required courage. Not everyone believed that the baby was of God, and she would have some stick in the village at the well as her body began to swell and the child became more obvious. She had a wonderful kinsman called Elizabeth, who she went to see, who gave her courage. And Joseph, of course, required huge amounts of courage and patience to understand what Mary was going through. And an angel came not only to Mary, but to Joseph and told. So God was preparing all kinds of people who would be ready to know this child as Saviour. And the word Jesus comes from the word Joshua, which means he saves. And today, he has people in every corner of the world, billions of people who believe that he came in Christ and has come as our Saviour and our friend. Of course, there had to be a place to be born, and God had to get them to the place. And he used the tax, the census that was given at that time that we read about. Excuse me. And so they went to the city of David and to Bethlehem to be born. So I think it's time, even though it's a little early, because this castle has these words on it. Can you tug? Thank you. Now I need you to read these words out for me.
For those who are willing to share the story, this is the castle you need.
So now you can open this one. Oh.
I'm not going to unbox it like how I unbox presents on Christmas Day. And that's like a wild monkey.
Right, so what's inside? I think he needs some help. Come on.
Angels. I love angels.
And you're going to make it up here. And we're going to sing a carol, which probably you've never sung before, but it's to the tune of Once in Royal David City. And it talks about the fact that this birth was also difficult, was also something which was momentous, but was done in very strange circumstances. So we'll sit and sing this while the children arrange the crib.
Village, how
God prepared a people, and we are the people that he's preparing now to tell the good news. I think the people are ready, so can we try and see if we can fit them somewhere? Perhaps, I'm thinking, I'm wondering whether we could put them, can we put them round the, round here, Angela? Will they stand? We can put some. Perhaps if you put the first one, the end one, pin it up. God prepares a place, and we want to prepare a place not only in our homes, but in our hearts. I once read a book by the lady who did all the cooking and was it Watford? The name's gone from me. But she did a lot of cooking. She wrote something which was a little book for Advent, and I use it every Advent. And she says how easy it is to get caught up in everything that's going on, very busy, and then you come, as she's a Catholic, you come to Mass and you've got nothing left, you're just exhausted. And that's not really what we want to do. We want to prepare ourselves so that we leave time in our lives for Christ to come and be born in us. Because if he's born in us and lives in us, then we can be the people that he wants us to be. We can't do it on our own. He has to be the one who lives through us into his world to tell others of his love. And so the next little hymn that we're going to sing, we're not going to stand, we're thinking of the people who will receive these gifts, and we're asking that the light of your giving, of your love for them, will be shown in their lives. And in our lives too. So we're going to have some prayers, but we're going to sing just a very simple Come Lord Jesus Come into this world of ours. So we'll just sing the first verse and then we'll pray. Come Lord Jesus Come. Come Lord Jesus Come. Come Lord Jesus Come to this world of ours. Come Lord Jesus, Babe of Bethlehem, Son of God, Creator of the world, our Saviour and Guide, and guide us in the way of love, and lead us into truth. Accept us as we are. Come, Lord Jesus, into those people who do not yet know you. We thank you for the faith that we share. You have filled our hearts with love for you, and this makes us a generous, caring people. We thank you for the gifts here on the table that we have brought to give to children who need our kindness to enjoy Christmas. Bless all who will receive these toys and those who will deliver them, that something of your love may be handed over as they unwrap their presents. We sing, fill us with your love.
Fill us with your love, fill us with your love, fill us with your love in this world.
In our service, we have remembered how you brought light into darkness. Lord Jesus, you bring healing, hope, and encouragement to us. At this time, we think of those we know with special needs, praying for those who are ill, those who are lonely and find Christmas difficult, those who are despairing that they will ever return to their homes. You are the light of the world, and you have told us to be light too. May we share your light, especially in places where at this time people are suffering from flooding, from stormy weather, from war, and from famine. And so we sing, may we see your light.
May we see your light. May we see your light. May we see your light in this world of us.
And as we see that light, Father, enable us to share it through our words, our actions, our thoughts, and our care. We say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service is coming to a close. We have told the story, a story that we shall remember as Christmas draws very close to the date in our diaries that is very exciting. We hope that we shall have a blessed Christmas because we know what Christmas is really all about. So let us finish by singing that hymn that we're going to finish off. And these are the verses that, of course, complete the story. We stand to sing. Wait is over, for Jesus Christ is already here. He lives in each one of us. We are the people chosen to tell the story. Our church is the place from which people go out to share the good news. We give thanks to God for all that he has given us, including himself in Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us this day and always. Amen.
In a minute, when I've just spoken.